Pray with me, please.
Lord God, let the words of my mouth and the meditation of our hearts be acceptable this day. Lord, cleanse me of my own thoughts and my own hopes and dreams of this morning, but let what I speak and what I say, O God, be yours. Let the very words from my mouth be edified by you, O God, and be raised up so that they might be words of your voice, words that we, all of us, your people, need to hear. Come, Holy Spirit, now, and be with us all. Amen. There are some tough texts in the Bible. There are some texts that some folks just don't want to or would prefer not to go there or prefer that they do not exist. And as I was coming across this text for this Sunday, I was walking in Cali, Colombia with a friend of mine, Lee McKenna. And I was telling her that, Lee, I'm going there with Hosea on the first Sunday, in the first chapter. And I said, you know, I said, sometimes when we hear the words of God, we kind of get mixed up as where God is trying to take us. And Lee McKenna, being a director of a group called Patera International, which is a group she formed in Canada, which is a group formed around nonviolent resolutions to any issue. And she does these sort of trainings across the world. She said, Michael, she says, I have a quote for you this, but before you preach this Sunday. And she says, here it is. She says, the Bible describes in commas a people in search of God and how to serve God, and sometimes getting it right and sometimes getting it wrong, out of comma, and prescribes behaviors, ideas, and concepts that are unbound by time and space, exhortive for all people everywhere. Knowing which is which, and the criteria by which we decide which, is crucial. It's crucial. It's crucial what we decide which is which. What is God trying to say to us? And so it'd be very easy for you and me this morning to get caught up in the first two or three verses of this passage where God tells Hosea to go and take a wife, a prostitute, a wife of whoredom. It'd be very easy for us to get caught up in just that language in the world in which we live, in the time in which we are. This wasn't the point that God was trying to make with Hosea and the people of God in this time. He was trying to describe something else. And that something else is where I want us to go to this morning. And that something else is entitled, Your Name Matters. Your Name Matters. The first time that I understood that my name really mattered to me was when I was in elementary school. And you see, when I was coming along in the 60s, everybody seemed to want to name their boy child Michael. There were Michaels everywhere. They were like sheep, just wandering around. There was Michael here, Michael there, Michael everywhere. You were in a crowd of people, there was at least one or two Michaels somewhere. And so I remember sitting in my elementary school class, and the teacher had five Michaels. She had to decide how she was going to define that, because what her point was is that I can't say Michael to every one of you. And so she decided her own method. And her method was that she would alter our names. Think about that. She would alter our names. What she didn't realize is that alteration of my name would change my name for years to come. So I was named Mike, not Michael. Throughout my elementary, junior high, and even my senior high school years, people would call me Mike. I never liked Mike. I didn't like Mike when she gave it to me.
I like Michael because Michael is what my mother had called me. It's what my mother had given me. It's as if God on heaven had spoken to my mom and said, this is a Michael, that's what he should be called. And my mom named me Michael. And I was very proud of that. And so when my teacher said, you will no longer be named Michael, you will be called Mike in my classroom, it spread like wildfire. I was Mike everywhere. I was Michael to the teachers in the hallway. I was Mike to the principal. I was Mike when I was outside in the playground. All of a sudden, my name, Michael, was taken away, and it was now Mike. And it bothered me. It bothered me for a long time. But I never spoke up. I never said to someone, you know what? No, I don't want to be called Mike. I want to be called Michael. Until my to-be wife, Barbara, said to me one day, she goes, do you like the name Mike? I said, no, I don't. She goes, well, what do you prefer? I said, I prefer to be called by the name given to me by my mom. I prefer to be called Michael. And from that day forward, not only did I claim it, but whenever someone asked me, what do you prefer to be called? I proudly said, Michael. And all of a sudden, Mike went away. I don't know anyone who has ever called me Mike in the last up 10 years. Because if they asked me what I prefer to be called, or because even in school, by the way, I had to write Mike on my papers to identify me, right? So I was able to reclaim that sense of Michael. And it made me very aware that my name was important, that my name meant something. It meant something to me. It meant something to the people who heard it. It meant something all around. And then we get to this text that Hosea has for us this morning, that God has offered for us. And this text is centered in names. It is centered in three specific names. It is centered in these names because God is trying to give a word to the people of God. He is trying to tell them something about who they are and how their name reflects what they are doing, the behavior that they are carrying out. And he does it through Hosea by saying to Hosea, when your child is born, name your first child Jezreel. Because Jezreel has done harm. Jezreel has committed crimes against humanity. Jezreel has committed murder. Jezreel has overthrown powers. Jezreel is what is going on in the nation of the children of God right now. They are doing all manner of things that are not okay, that are not acceptable. And so he says, name your first child Jezreel. Because it would be a word that would be spread throughout the land, that people would begin to wonder, why is your child named Jezreel? They would begin to ask questions. They would begin to want to know, what is Jezreel about? And then Hosea is told that when you have a second child, you name her Lo-Ruhamah, which is unloved, unpitied. Because God no longer has a great affinity for the ways and actions that God's people are committing. God is not happy with them. And so God is saying to Hosea, I want you to name your children these names. I don't know as a parent how I would have been able to do what God asked of Hosea. I don't know whether I would have not had some conversation with God and said, now really, God, can't we talk about this? Can't we have some discussion about this? But Hosea is obedient to God. And Hosea not only names his first child a son, Jezreel, but he names his first daughter, Lo-Ruhamah. And then the Lord says, name your second child, your third child, Lo-Ami. Lo-Ami. And Hosea does so.
Lo ami in this particular context is because you are not my people. God is trying to send a word to the children of God. They are living in a land right now in a time of peace and tranquility. This is not a time of war and overthrow. This is a time where they have gotten to a point where they are settled. And in that sense of settledness, what they have chosen to do is they've chosen to be disobedient to what God has called upon them to do. So rather than looking out for those who are the least, the lost, and the lonely, they're more concerned about their own sense of who they are, their own sense of greed, their own sense of need, their own sense of piety. They are no longer being obedient to what God desires of them. And so God is trying to tell them that the harm that you're bringing to your fellow people, the sort of crime and punishment that you are doing as a nation, as Jezreel, is no longer tolerated. It's not acceptable. This sense of how you are not being obedient to and not being obedient to the word of God for those who are poor, for those who are lost, for those who are lonely, you are not loved. That is not loving your fellow human being. You are not doing the ways and the will that I desire of you. And no, there is no pity for those sort of actions. It's not okay. God is trying to tell the children of God, their name matters. How you live out your name matters. How you live out your life matters. And that in fact, that if you want to be a child of God, the things that are wrong, that you're doing wrong in your life and your journey as a nation, you will change those ways. You will change those laws. You will care for those who are down and out. You will care for those who are poor. You will care for those who are sick and lame. You will lift up and build up those who are torn down and those who are weak. No, that is not what you are doing. What you are doing as a people is you're looking out just for you. You're not honoring the laws of God. What would those laws have been in that day? They would have been our Ten Commandments. They would have been to love. They would have been to have no other God before us. They would have been thou shalt not kill, thou shalt not steal, thou shalt not commit adultery. It would have been that you would not look and covet your neighbor's wife, that you will treat your neighbors in a way that is loving and compassionate and welcoming. But that is not what the children of God have turned to. In fact, what's happened is they've reached a place of complacency. And they have saying, well, you know what? It's all good. We got God. We can go about and doing anything we want. Matter of fact, I don't even know. Our scripture doesn't tell us whether they were sitting there having conversations about this, but God is telling, this is what I see. This is what you are doing, and God sees. And therefore, God says, you are not reflecting God's image. You're reflecting a name that is not of God. Your name matters as the children of God. When you claim God as your way maker and your burden bearer, your name matters. How you live into the world and how you act in the world is vital, because you are reflecting God's image each and every day of your life. Everything you do, everything you say, no matter where you go, no matter who sees you, you are reflecting of God. So therefore, your name matters. And so he is saying to Hosea to tell them, these are the names that you are reflecting. These are the names that you are. You are not claiming me. You are not claiming God. You are not claiming the righteousness of the one who has known you all of your journey. You are now claiming your own sense of what you desire, how you might have power and authority over all. We're not told in this particular text whether the people get it. We're not told in this text whether they change and they rearrange themselves. We're not told the end result of what happens in this particular chapter. But we are told that God is looking at them, and God sees that the names that they deserve are these new names, because they are not living out the laws and the ways of God. They are living in a time where things are somewhat tranquil. There is no war. They are at a place where they can make some decisions and stand up for what is right, for what is true.
They can stand up for justice and peace. They can stand up for love and mercy. They can do all of the things that God has imparted for them and that God has already done for them. Because indeed, God has brought them a mighty long way by the time we get to this text. God has brought them through wars and rumors of wars. God has built them up and allowed them to multiply. God has given them land that they might live, food that they might eat. God has given them everything that they need to survive. And here they are living in this place. And instead of honoring God in the very ways that they live and the very ways that they are, they have chosen to do otherwise. So I know you might be saying to me, Michael, that was a long time ago. We are now in the 21st century of Chicago, Illinois. That was then, and well, we are in now. Well, I don't know how to tell you this, but we're doing some of the same stuff right now, where we are not honoring our name. We are not living out God's call in our lives. We are not claiming the names that we've been given, which is children of God. To love those who are loveless, to care for those who are uncared for, to journey with those who are sitting in prison or in the jailhouse, to journey with those who are starving, who have no food on their table. It's so easy for us, and I know sometimes I may be talking to the choir, but I know the Lord is saying to me, as he is saying to you, we need to be honoring our name as children of God. And it means that sometimes we got to step out of our comfort zone and we got to let go of what we used to do and how we used to do it. We now got to claim a God that says that you will love them even if they don't smell right. That you will walk with them even though they don't have the same ideology that you do. That you will sit with them even though you don't understand why they're crying and why they're moaning. That you will go and visit them even though they're in the jailhouse and you don't even, and the idea of going to a jail or a prison makes you scared all the time. That you will sit with that young man, you will talk with that young man or that young person on the street who walks by you and gives you enough information to have a conversation. You will not walk away as quickly as you can, afraid of what will happen. See, I know living in Chicago right now, it's home, and it's sometimes very depressing living here, because all you do is read about the crime, all you do is read about the murders, all you do is read about the break-ins, all you do is read about the negative, 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 and sometimes it's very hard for us, even as a people of God, to claim that which is real, that which is true, that is that God is still alive, and God still calls you and me to love, and that God still calls you and me to show compassion, and that God calls you and me not to get caught up in what's going on in the world, but be Christ in the world. And sometimes we get lost. I understand it. I was reading the news this morning and I'm like, I had to turn it off. But I know why. Because I must claim my name at all times. I am a child of God. And that means at times I'm going to cry and times I'm going to weep, times I'm going to mourn, times I'm going to be joyful, times I'm going to be exuberantly happy. But in all of those experiences, God will be there. And so I want to know today, and you don't have to answer for me, you have to answer it to God. Are you willing to claim your name as a child of God? Are you willing to stand up in a way that says that God and the people of God's world can see who I am by the way I live my life, by the way I love unconditionally, by the way I show mercy, by the way I extend kindness, and by the way I seek justice in every and all that I do? Will that be what people see of me when they call out my name? Because that's what I want. I want you to see somebody who will love you no matter what you have done, no matter where you have been. I want you to see somebody who will walk with you and journey with you, no matter if you agree with me or not. I want you to see somebody who will be there with you, even if it's the last thing I've got. I want you to know that God has given to me, and therefore I am giving to you, and there is nothing that I will not do for you. There is nothing that I will not claim God for. And I know it's hard. Sometimes I struggle. Sometimes I don't know what I'm doing and which way I'm going. But I do know this, that every time I lean on God, when I don't even understand, God gives me what I need. When God gives me the energy and the strength and the vitality, I came back from Cali, Colombia at 2 o'clock in the morning on Tuesday. And I said, Lord, I'm gonna sleep in on Tuesday. I didn't. I had energy. God gave me what I needed. And I got up on Tuesday and I did what I needed to do on Tuesday. God gave me the energy on Wednesday and I did what I needed to do on Wednesday. In fact, every day of my life, God gives me what I need, not what I want. Let me tell you that right now. You're not going to get what you want all the time. You may get it sometime, but God doesn't give us what we want. God gives us what we need. When God said these words to Hosea, I want to believe that if I'm Hosea, I'm saying, really? You want me to name my children? What? That's not what I wanted. I had these beautiful names. Marie, Mary, Betty, Susan. I had great names. Billy, Bob, Joe, maybe even Jehoshaphat. I don't know. But God said, do this. And are you and I willing to do the same? It was a hard thing for Hosea to do. I want to believe. It would have been hard for me. Are we willing to go to that place? Because our name matters as children of God. Who we are matters as children of God. And I pray and I hope today that you right now are making a reconviction to yourselves, to your friends, to the people you don't even know, to people you might not even like, to people you don't understand, that you are making a reconviction to say, God, I am yours and you are mine. And what you call me to do may be a challenge, but I'm going to honor my name as a child of God. I'm going to honor my name in everything I say, everything I do, however I feel. And when I don't even know, I'm going to get down on my knees, oh God, and I'm going to ask you to help me make it through. Because I know that you will take me through the darkest valley and you will raise me up to the highest mountaintop. That whatever I need to make it through, you will give it to me. And whatever challenge you put on me is not anything more than I can bear. Why? Because you are God, and you are God all by yourself. Today, go from this place, claiming your name as a child of God. Go from this place, doing as God has placed on your heart. Go from this place in the darkness and the brightness. Go from this place, from the highs to the lows, knowing that God will never leave you or forsake you. My name is Michael, and I'm a child of God. Amen.